think I can speak on behalf of Ripley Church and just tell you that we are thrilled that you would choose to spend this weekend with us and with these men from many different places, gathered around God's Word and gathered around the fellowship that's found in His Word, and thinking on the topic of leadership. About 18 months ago, Brother Lewis and I sat down. We were excited and encouraged over how the first conference went, and we had a desire to continue to open this up for men to be able to gather once a year and think about topics that were would help develop us, all of us, into being godly men. And the second topic on our list was the great need for godly leadership. At the time that we did that, and it was number two, so this is 2016, the second time, we had no thought that this would be the year that our whole nation's eyes would be turned to the topic of leadership. As any thinking, concerned Christian cannot help but just sort of stands helplessly aghast in a bit of horror as we watch the spectacle that's going on around us as men vie for our nation's leadership. Any thinking, concerned person that's looking very far to the future would consider that we are on the brink of something that is very unpleasant, with the leadership, the void of godly leadership that we have as a nation. And yet, it's not just the presidential cycle that should concern us. Anywhere we look across our society, in any avenue, any arena of that society, whether it's the workplace, our communities, our homes, our churches, we would be foolish to be blind to the crisis that exists in our society, a crisis that in a very real way can be traced back to a void of godly leadership. In Acts 27, there was a crisis, and I'm not going to turn there, so don't bother in your time, but you might look at it later. There was a crisis as 276 people were on a ship, and that ship was being tossed violently in what's called the Euroclydon, which seems to be some sort of a hurricane wind. And for 14 days, they were tossed in this wind. There was no sun to give them their bearings. There were no stars to be seen at night. Nothing but winds and being tossed and tempest. And at one point it said that they all lost hope that their lives would be spared. Of those 276 people, not one hair was lost. Every single individual, every single passenger made it safely to land and live to see another day. Now we know why. We know because God was intervening, and God's hand was upon them, and God had purposed that Paul would get to Rome. But from a human perspective, from a human lens, if you look closely at that story, the reason that those men, all those men, that not one soul was lost was because, from the most unlikely of sources, from a prisoner named Paul, a leader emerged. As you see Paul interacting in that chapter with those men in that crisis, you see all the attributes that we can read in the books of good leadership. He was clear-headed. He had practical wisdom. He was decisive. He had empathy. He encouraged them. He had compassion. He was aware. He was watching. He had clear vision. All the things that go into making a good leader, you see there just right in the middle of that story. And yet, if you try to trace where Paul got that, you don't find some leadership manual or even a two-night leadership seminar. But I believe that central to Paul's actions, central to Paul's calmness, central to Paul's vision and his wisdom and his help and his compassion, central to that is one little phrase that Paul uses when he speaks to those men and encourages them not to bring worse disaster upon themselves. Here's what he said. He said, I believe God. I believe God. And God had told him that they were going to, that they, he must go to Rome. But it was that central core conviction of Paul's that drove every other action that he made that resulted in those men making it safe to land. I believe God. Now that's good news to me. If that's central to good leadership, if that's central to wisdom, if that thought is central to leading my family well, that I need to believe God and act of faith, that's good news to me because, frankly, I'm probably like every other one of these men that are going to be speaking this weekend. There is a part of us that is greatly conflicted about speaking to you on the topic of leadership. Because we, at least I am well aware of, I know what the topics are. It's the home and marriage and the workplace, the community and the church. And I can give you a long list of a lot of failing and a lot of places where I'm just not qualified. We had a deacon's meeting earlier this week to discuss the topic of remodeling the kitchen and lunchroom back there. And the building, this building was being used that night. So we met in a different office and one of the men's offices. And I got there and the way they were situated in the corner just above my left peripheral vision was a television that was on mute, but it was on. And there was a basketball, college basketball game being played. And so as the discussion was going on, I had to tell you that remodeling is not my strong suit and it's not my primary place of interest. And so the conversation went around the room and it came to me, the pastor, the leader, and it was time for me, my moment to make my wise statement about the matter. And what I was thinking was, guys, you're doing a great job. And what I said was, check out number 44. And as I drove home that night, those men love me and they didn't know my weaknesses. As I drove home that night, I just thought that is just symptomatic of a whole lot of other times. More important times, more needful times, I've just dropped the ball. And maybe you come here tonight and you're sort of like that. You're dragging a little bit. You know what the topics are going to be. And you're just like, just go ahead, tell me more. I already know. I already know where I failed. So why are we here? Why would we come back? And the answer is really found in the title of the theme of our conference, Called to Lead. Brothers, we as Christian men, and young men as Christian young men preparing to lead, we believe that we lead, and we should lead, and we must lead, because before we are leaders, we are followers. We lead because we follow. We, like Paul, understand that there's a kingdom that is not of this world that we've been called into by God's grace. And we, like Paul, understand that we are not the masters and the determiners of our own destiny. We don't have the right to live our lives any way that we want to live our lives, but we, like Paul, live by a worldview that says that we have been created by God, we are image bearers of God, and we have been created by Him, and we have been redeemed by Christ, His own Son's blood, and we have been set apart for His honor, that the name of Jesus Christ might be honored. And we're not that special, but we live by that worldview. And specifically, we believe that God has called men to honor His Son by taking ownership and leadership of the possessions that He has brought into our lives. And that's why we're here. We're here because we're called to lead. We lead because we are called to lead. We believe that we should think carefully about issues and not just follow the popular opinion, because we understand that we are not the final arbiters of truth and right thinking, but God is. It is this overarching conviction, the conviction that we are called by God that we are His creation, His redeemed ones, His set-apart ones, and we are here for His honor. It is this overarching conviction, brothers, that will drive the abiding passion that you need, not just some pep rally at a men's conference, but the abiding passion that you need to lead your families and lead your homes and lead your church as well. It is conviction that God has called me to this task. Brothers, we are not owners, but we are stewards. Stewards. That means that we are called to manage. We've been called to manage something that is a possession that is not ours. It doesn't belong to us. We've been called to manage a possession that belongs to God. And I hope that if nothing else, we can realize and be convicted and be encouraged again tonight that we do not have a very long period of time in this life to manage what God has called us to manage. And so let us be about the task with seriousness, with conviction, encouraged. That this is not about our own strength, our own qualifications, our own ability, but it's by the grace of God that we stand, by the grace of God that we lead. We don't lead because we have it figured out. We lead because God has called us to lead. And so this weekend we'll be discussing the possessions that God has placed in our hands to be stewards of. And as we remember that God has entrusted us with this, that we will answer to Him for our management. So we'll be discussing the possessions, things like marriage and the home, the workplace, the community, the church. We're going to begin tonight by looking at just sort of an overarching message, an overall message Brother Dickie Hobbyhawks will bring. Just talking about cultivating a leadership mindset. And then later tonight, we will look at Christ, who is the ultimate servant leader, the one who has led us and who has brought us to a place we can never bring ourselves. He's brought us into friendship, fellowship, reconciliation with the Holy God. So let's pray right now, and I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Winfrey to pray for us, and then Brother Dickie, you come forward, and we'll give you our attention. Who's Jeff?